Today on Real Life Radio.
You're never more close than you are after you've let go. That's the word where God says, I, my love, endures all the things you must go through. I am there.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere. It really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues in his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4. 1 Corinthians was written, of course, by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth and shares with us how finding God really is finding an unconditional love that bears all things, believes all things, and endures all things. You see, God is love, holy and pure, a love that's unwavering, uncompromising, and not of the head, but of the heart. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that the enduring love of God is our comfort. God endures things like our questions, our worries, our weaknesses, and even our unbelief. Now with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
Love believes all things. The word believe here, now you got to hear this carefully. Pistuo is the word, and you would say, Jack, that's the Greek word for faith. Yes, but the context doesn't demand, it's not the word faith, the context demands the word belief or believes. Watch this. It means to grant or to extend credit to deploy, to extend or put forth or to offer up the best first. To not be suspicious. Again, Charles Spurgeon writes this. Should a Christian stumble, listen carefully to this. Are you guys listening? Yeah. You're so quiet, I love it. If you're listening and quiet, that's beautiful. If you're quiet because you're sleeping, then I should have stayed in bed too, I guess. Spurgeon writes, should a Christian stumble or fall in the heat of battle? I've done that. I've stumbled and fallen. I've gotten doubtful or scared or panicked in the heat of battle. Have you ever fallen or stumbled in the heat of battle? This kind of love looks upon the wounded one with thoughts of just how mean and terrible the battle must have been to wound one of my own. That's the way Christ looks at you and I, a believer. You're a Christian and you're living your life, and there's a day when you're stronger for Jesus on Monday than maybe you are on Tuesday. You have your victories and you have your setbacks. We all have that. But instead of Jesus being happy with you on Monday and sad with you on Tuesday, he is looking at you when you and I stumble, and he was saying, my, that must have been a tremendous battle, Jack, you were in to have stumbled. Son, get up. Let me pick you up. Let me hold on to you, and let me get you back into the battle. I mean it. That is valuable to us, that this believing that the love of God looks toward us upon is an encouragement. The Bible tells us in Psalm 103:13, as a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. Isn't that great? Well, Pastor, you know, I got to really help God out on this one. No, you know what? He lets you get involved. He knows that we are dust. This is encouraging to me. It doesn't sanction weakness. It takes me from my weakness and sets my feet upon a solid rock. It's encouraging to me. Believing, this believing love of God is our compass. In Psalm 32, verse 8, the Bible says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way that you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Will you write that down? Maybe you need that verse. Maybe you need that for your life. Psalm 32, 8. He says, I will instruct you. Don't you want him to instruct you? Yeah. I do. And teach you. Lord, teach me. You guys, this is an awesome promise. In the way that you should go. Do you need to make a decision? Does somebody need to make a decision about the way they ought to go? Should I marry him or her? This or that? Move here, move there. This church, that church. This direction, that direction. That, what a great verse that is. And he says that he's going to be there. He's going to be the one. And I love it. And he'll guide us with his eye. That's what I want. And he believes. This believes means this. It means that it sustains us in this sense. And this is a real event. Joshua, General Joshua, was getting ready to go into battle. You guys, it's Joshua chapter 1, verse 5. Lisa texted me this verse this last week. I was getting a little weak in the heat of battle. This week, I had a head trip going on in my mind. Last Sunday, myself and other pastors, we had to be at Dallas Sunday afternoon, and so we got there, left immediately after third service, and got to Dallas, Texas for some schooling, for some classes. And then on Tuesday, the green light was given for us to file in Sacramento at the Attorney General's office, the protest against SB 48 to open it up to a challenge and to force it onto the ballot in November. But there had to be a few people that signed the affidavit and basically sue the state on this issue. And so this law firm that represents the case said, Jack, we want you to do this. You're used to getting in trouble. You're used to being in the heat of the battle on this. We need you. I'm in Dallas. Boy, you got to be in Sacramento at 3:30. So I left Dallas at 12 o'clock Tuesday and got to Sacramento. I was on the ground for about 65 minutes, signed the documents, got on a plane and got back to Dallas. And I got to tell you, on the way there, my head was thinking thoughts like this. What am I doing? Why don't I just paint a target on me. And Tony Perkins, he called me. He was a great encouragement. He said, Jack, I heard about what's going on. Let me tell you, you need to watch your back. You need to be careful. You need to get a guard dog. You need to get, because this is what happened to me. And I had to build a wall around my house, Jack. And it's all this stuff. And I'm going, great. And I said, Tony, you're killing me here. You know, because when you're ignorant of stuff, it's better that way. When the doctor says, why don't you step into this next room? Well, if you don't know what's coming, it's like, okay. And then you come out, oh, man. And so he told me all this stuff about what's happened in his life, and I got weak. And I was like wavering in my heart. And Tony encouraged me. He said, Jack, listen. Can you walk away from this battle? I said, absolutely not. I cannot walk away. Even if it kills me, I can't walk away because it's biblical. And he said, okay, then that settles it. And so he gave me Joshua 1:5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you, period. Man, if you believe that, you go, yes, thank you. And I got to tell you, off the record, don't tell anybody. She's not here yet. I had shared with Lisa, I'm wimping out. And then I got on the airplane. I texted her, and then I got on the plane. So by the time I landed, Lisa had a text response to me about that long. And she just let me have it. She said, suck it up, be a man, you're God's warrior. Don't be afraid of their faces, hold your ground. You are, and it's like, man, and I'm, wow. When your wife kicks your tail like that, let me tell you. But we're prone to that, and God speaks to us. His love is faithful to us. And he's an amazing God, and he's a God who guides us, and he's a God who will uphold us. And he's so, so very, very faithful. Colossians 1:13 says, he has delivered us from the power of darkness. Do you believe that or not? I believe it. And conveyed us, that's transported us, into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That's good. God's love is not suspicious towards you. It's not cynical or critical. He loves you in such a way that he wants you to make progress in this walk of faith. And this is what I'm challenging you about as a church. Let's, by all means, get walking. Let's get walking in this walk of faith. Let's make our faith and life matter. I refuse, and I will pray that God does not allow this church to be a spectator church. But remember, it's that word things again. He will grant us his guiding hand through all these forms, thoroughly, whatsoever, whosoever, the whole sum of each, every, any, all, the total, everything, he will guide us through. Under this next point, thirdly, is this, his faithfulness, he finishes his work in me. He'll finish his work. Verse 7 says that love hopes all things. Now, this is a great word. Please don't misunderstand this word. The word means to wait with expectation. It doesn't mean to wait with hope. That's a different, whole different meaning. To wait with expectation, with full assurance of or for salvation, which means more than what you might think on the surface. It means to wait fully, completely, with confidence. Wow. Hope, love hopes all things. Love, with all confidence, with all boldness, waits for the expected thing to arrive. Here's what it's not. People will say of us, oh, you stupid Christians, you just hope that you're going to go to heaven. You hope Jesus comes back. And do you hear the tone of that? They have completely misunderstood what the Bible says. We are not hoping Jesus comes back. That's like being a gambler and saying, oh, I hope I get the numbers or the grapefruit or whatever shows up on the thing. That's hoping like luck. A friend of mine the other day said, on the way to Sacramento, a friend of mine said, good luck to you, Pastor Jack. And I texted him back, my dear friend, luck will have nothing to do with what God is about to do. Luck. It's like the old Irishman that said, oh, the luck of the Lord be with you. The luck of the Lord be with me. That's gambling, my friend. No way. It is a hope that is absolute. It would better say this. While you and I, Titus 2:13, wait for the blessed, absolute, no doubt about, and certain revelation of Jesus Christ, we're not hoping Christ returns. He's coming. Amen. We're not guessing. Oh, he's coming.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And so when we look at this hope, love is confident in all things and all the things we're going through. This hope-filled love of God for us grants us this boldness. Here's a verse every one of us as believers must always remember. I am guessing now, I'm not certain if this is the number one verse, but it's got to be in the top three. Throughout my Christian life, I've repeatedly gone back to for boldness. It's Philippians 1:6. Does anyone not know that verse? Philippians 1:6, it is amazing. The word is being confident. Technically in the Greek, it's this word. Being. See, what does that mean? It means continually over and over again, never stop. You never have to doubt, never have to stop, never have to worry. About confidence. Listen, being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So watch. In this room, there are believers that are advancing. There are believers that are just holding the ground, surviving. There are believers right now in this room or listening right now that are backsliding. They're going backwards. What does the Bible say to us? Be confident of this very thing, that if he has begun a good work in you, I said if, I added that word if. You have to answer that. We say, how do I answer it? Answer this in the silence of your soul. If you're a seasoned believer, but you were once more in love or more effective or more bold in Jesus than you are now, you have slid back, you're not advancing, you've recoiled, and the Bible says, hey, stand up, let's get moving, because what he started before, he wants to advance from that point. If a Christian is just surviving today, treading water, you're not going forward, you're not going back, you're surviving, he is saying right now, come on, let's go. Be confident in this very thing. I am completing the work that I started in your life. If you are backslidden far from God, then listen, remember. Remember when you shared Jesus. Remember when you were crazy about him. Remember when you did this or that and it was all for Jesus. Get back to it. By whatever means necessary, get back to it. That's his heart. That's his desire. That's his will for you. In Psalm 138, verse 8, the Bible says, the Lord will perfect, complete, bring to pass that which concerns me. What a great verse. What a great promise. This love that God has for us stays at the job and finishes it. Here's a great verse. The NIV Bible puts it this way, 1 John 2:28. And now, dear children, continue in him so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming. That is a reference to the rapture, not the second coming. That's awesome. You guys, in the second coming, for those of you who don't understand Bible prophecy, in the second coming, Christ comes with us out of heaven, Revelation 19 says. The rapture, he comes for us. He appears to take us. He appears in the atmosphere to receive us up to himself, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. So this is cool. Be confident. So what? If you're confident right now, not in you. I can do it. No. You and I cannot do it, but he can through us. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You ever put your hand in the glove? You put your hand in that glove. It's like putting your faith in Christ and you can be confident. And here's what happens. You don't have to worry at what moment he's coming. The Bible says he's going to come in an hour that you think not. The Bible says that he's going to come while the unbelievers or those living in sin will be caught unaware, not knowing, walking in the darkness. He'll come upon them as a thief. But Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, but he will not come upon you as a thief because you walk in the light. Think about that. As you're walking with Christ, as your life is inserted into him and you're living your life, he will appear someday. And if he doesn't come in our lifetime, then we win anyway. Amen. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so that's a tremendous thing. We can be confident. We don't have to worry because we're walking and living and breathing with him. This is a great example of this type of hope that we're speaking about here. It's in Luke chapter 7. Can you turn there if you would? Luke chapter 7. You can mark this portion of the chapter. I'll give you a few verses. It's a great thing to read later on today. A great example of this type of hope. Verse 37 says, and behold, a woman in the city, or of the city, literally, who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask full of fragrant oil. And listen, stood at his feet, behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears. You guys, this is pretty dramatic. And wiping them, that's his feet, with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet. You don't do that in that culture. A woman does not touch a man in that culture. This woman's lost total control. She's absolutely lost control on this. Watch this. She kissed his feet, anointed them with fragrant oil. Now, when the Pharisee, who had invited him, saw this, He spoke to himself saying, this man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner. The word sinner here, listen to this. It means one who is devoted to sin, one who is devoted to sinful actions, to live for sin, to burn with lust for sin, a person fully given over to fleshly lust. It's often translated a notorious woman. This woman lived, dreamed, thought up, imagined, created, invented lustful, sinful acts. That's how big of a sinner she was. Jesus is sitting there with all these other high-ranking people of the community, and this woman cannot take it anymore, burst in upon him. She's weeping and pouring her dowry. That's what she would someday get married with, if anybody would marry such a woman, and she had probably been with every woman and every man in town. A notorious sinner. And she's touching Jesus' feet. She's crying. She's wiping his feet with her hair. And Jesus, I want you to read it later, issues to her forgiveness. This is a radical and awesome thing, because when the scripture tells us that she's a sinner, this is exactly what we're speaking about. We can go from bowing down at the feet of Jesus in our sin, no matter how great it is, being forgiven, and stand with all boldness if we would just believe his word. The Bible says, listen, if you doubt, if that's like one event, you know, Jesus, I can't see Jesus allowing that. Matthew 9:10 says, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors, they were big sinners, and listen, what's implied is many sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Don't you love that? Before we leave this and end this message, I love it. Jesus is sitting at a table. His disciples are with him. The crowd is there. And these sinners. So imagine, Jack walks in there. He's heard that Jesus is there. He comes walking in, realizes there he is. Excuse me, pardon me. People, I'm asking people to pardon me because I'm going to go see Jesus. And people look and say, oh my gosh, that's a tax collector or a notorious sinner. Same word as the woman. Notorious sinner. Excuse me. You don't have to say excuse me too long, I would imagine, because people would get out of the way. Let him pass. Don't touch him. He's a rotten, stinking, defiled sinner. And they make their way to Jesus and sit near him. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Imagine. Imagine if in this first service today, there was a prostitute from Holt Avenue or Mission Avenue that made her way into this building. She was cold, half naked, mini skirt up to her neck, walks in this place, shivering in the corner. You know what? She's supposed to mistake us for Jesus. She's supposed to walk in here looking like that, looking around and saying, gosh, I'm a little underdressed, but these people seem to be in love with Jesus. Who is this one that they're talking about, this Jesus? I need to know this Jesus that they're speaking about. If that were to happen in this church, then it's proof positive evidence that Jesus is here. If somebody were to say, woman, get out of here, you're half naked. No, listen, if Jesus were here, if that type of woman came into this place, the women of this church would probably make their way over to her and say, you look cold, and would help her be bundled up and say, are you okay? You want some coffee? Yes. That's Jesus, you guys. Yes. And that's needed, and that's important. And I have to end. Here's the final thing. It's verse 7. It's endures. This is very comforting. Finding him who is altogether faithful, he is faithful to endure. He's faithful to endure. My friends, listen, the word means this, to remain or to be present. Oh, I like it. To tarry close behind us. To remain with us. To be within reach of us. To abide or stay near to us. Love endures all things.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called Finding the Love of Your Life, Part 4. Thanks for listening. Today, you know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians. It's a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, if you've got kids or grandkids, you're going to want to get this book. It's called Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants. It's written by author and speaker Ken Ham. Now, our younger generation is battling a culture of hate and adversity. You and I never really thought it possible. So for a gift of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life, our current featured resource, Will They Stand? Parenting Kids to Face Giants is available at jackhibbs.com/realradio. That's jackhibbs.com/realradio. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.